Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast monthly album roundup for the month of April 2019. I'm your host, Robert, and I know I say this a lot, but I really do mean it. I am so glad I'm not pro Jared right now. And with me, I have
normal boots, or like normal booted off you, something, topical jokes.
And
so which will come first, New Mutants or the end of One Piece?
I mean, Oda says he's 75% done. Well, we don't really know for sure. Although I will say, at this point, I'm predicting that One Piece will probably end before Avatar 2. That's probably a smarter estimation.
We'll add this.
There's a Boss Burgers movie?
They've been working on one for a while, I think.
Yeah.
I'm more excited for that shit. Like give me that shit.
I'm literally grasping at straws. Classic. Yeesh, you okay there, buddy?
Yeah. By the way, folks, in case you, I've been coughing a lot lately, and I hope not to cough a lot, but it might happen. I don't know. I hope not, but we'll see.
Chris Rock's mom bought him the Robitussin, so it's all good.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're doing this for April 2019, a month that I just wanted to be over with. Not necessarily because there wasn't good music, there was plenty of it, and a lot of big names in a lot of areas, but it was just that last hurdle of finals of the friggin' semester, man. It is a headache and a half. But it's over now, and with me having gotten a B in multivariable calculus, suck at triple integrals, I don't have to deal with you a third time.
Yay! Let's celebrate with mozzarella sticks.
Yes.
Well, I would, but I already fucked up two Parm hoagies today from the Wawa that just opened. They finally have that around here. Yeah! One was meatball, one was chicken, in case y'all are curious. So, yeah, let's actually talk about this whole music thing here. So, let's start off by talking about what actually did come out in the past month. These are some of the more notable releases. It's probably stuff that slipped through the cracks, as there usually is with us, because we have very specific interests. So, okay, let's start off with the rock, indie, and folk section. We have a new EP that came out from Broken Social Scene called Let's Try the After Volume 2. We have the latest one from rock band Cage the Elephant with Social Cues. From the band Pup, their latest record, Morbid Stuff. From those Australian lads in King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, their newest project, Fishing for Fishies. And, of course, Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20, known for guest starring on the song Smooth by Carlos Santana, with his newest project, Chiptooth Smile. Now, moving on from that to the metal and hardcore stuff, we have the newest album from technical death metal act After the Burial with Evergreen. We have one from fellow tech death act Allegion with Apoptosis. From Dream Theater keyboard wizard Jordan Rudess, his latest solo album, Wired for Madness. Here's what I'm surprised I missed. I didn't listen to this one. I only found out, literally a couple days ago. This came out in April. The new album from the animated black metal act Belzebubs with Pantheon of the Nightside Gods.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Biersack with The Ghost of Ohio. Mm. The Damned Things dropping their first new album in 9 years with High Crimes. The newest project from doom metalers Inter Arma with Sulfur English. The new project from drone metal act Sun, with Life Metal. The newest one from a folk metal act Elevati with Atignatos. And of course, Periphery genting their way back into our hearts with Periphery 4, Hail Stan. Hail him! Now to move on to the hip-hop and R&B section, we have the newest solo project from Lizzo with 'Cause I Love You. The newest one from Khalid with Free Spirit. We got the final album from the OJs, appropriately titled The Last Word. We got a new solo project from Tech N9ne with Nina. We got a new one from O3 Grado called Still Summer in the Projects. Your Old Droog dropped a new one called It Wasn't Even Close. We got a new mixtape from Wiz Khalifa with Fly Times Volume 1, The Good Fly Young. Oh, god damn it, that's a stupid title. We got a surprise drop, rather short notice. This one comes from longtime Toonami beatmaster Chris DeVoe, called With the Moon. The much-anticipated new project from Schoolboy Q with Crash Talk, and the latest one from California R&B rap hybrid person Anderson .Paak with Ventura, Best Teeth in the Game. And, of course, to delve into the last section, the pop and electronic stuff, are K-pop overlords BTS dropping their newest project, Map of the Soul Persona, which is not one of the Persona spinoffs recently announced this past month. We got a new album from Pink called Hurts to Be Human. To be as in the robot from Nier Automata, but it's probably not an album about Nier Automata. Of course, the newest project from Kitty with Rose Gold. A new one from singer-songwriter Nora Jones with Begin Again. A new one from sitcom star, who apparently is also a country musician, Reba McEntire with Stronger Than the Truth. We got a new one from Sarah Bareilles with Amidst the Chaos. Electronic producer Amon Tobin with Fear and a Handful of Dust. The Chemical Brothers coming in with No Geography. Spectrum Pulse's Worst Nightmare, AJR, with Neo Theater. And, of course, last but certainly not least, the latest tie-in project for the final season of Game of Thrones, the soundtrack collaborative album For the Throne, sponsored by Starbucks. So, yeah, that's a lot of stuff. So, might as well get into it. As always, Mr. Alex is going to usher us in with some albums.
Yes, but first I have to give myself some lashings because there were some that I just completely forgot about because I've had a busy month.
Haven't
How did I forget about that Jordan Rudess album? Shame on me. Ugh.
Oh, wow, really? Damn.
Yeah, it's been kind of a busy month. Getting back to work and trying to get a good routine going and, you know, Endgame. I've seen it four times already.
Damn.
But, yeah. Some albums I just slipped my mind, you know? But fear not, I'll be starting some catch-up write-ups by the end of the month, because I have a big list I'm trying to... I gotta start whittling this down, otherwise I'm never gonna get started on it. But anyway, for what I did give a listen to for April, I have five choice cuts, two of which I have very little to say, the other three I have a good amount to say. So I'm going to start with this new Amon Tobin album, Fear and a Handful of Dust. It's so good to hear from him again. But because I'm not so well-versed with more of his backlog, I wish I could say more, but the only thing that comes to mind when I listen to this whole thing is, yeah, this is a good, chill, ambient album. You also listen to it. It's very glitchy and a little Eastern-influenced. It's very good. I need to listen to more of that stuff. Also, why is Easy Muffin in some copyright limbo?
I don't know.
Somehow I blame Matthew McConaughey for it.
All right.
Yeah. And speaking of all right, this new EP from our K-pop overlords BTS, Map of the Soul, Persona.
Oh, wow. I formatted that way wrong in my notes.
That's how it's formatted in Apple, in iTunes, so, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's a fine short EP that does just about everything to keep fans screaming for more, like at the Rose Bowl, or Saturday Night Live, which, how well-timed. Their performance on SNL came right at the commercial break of the first episode of The Promised Neverland. Oh. It was a good performance, too. It's not often you hear the crowd cheering for the band performing on SNL while they're still performing. So, yeah, very good. And again, I don't have a whole lot to say about it. It's good. It's got more of those trap flavors that all the kids love. Could probably do without Halsey, but whatever. Yes, the performance was better because she wasn't there. Yeah. They put on a very fine act. All right. So, y'all remember last year when Beyonce performed at Coachella?
Yep.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes, that was a very good performance. And it has been documented in a couple of ways. Namely, a Netflix documentary all about her performance at Coachella entitled Homecoming, with an accompanying live album called Homecoming, the live album. It's very simple that way.
That makes sense.
Yeah. What a friggin' live album this is. My goodness. Like, the more I think about it, the more I realize, for the better part of my life, going back 20 years, in some way, Beyoncé has always been in the back of my mind when it comes to my musical tastes. Going back to those early Destiny's Child hits, hearing it on the radio when I was growing up as a kid, all the way to now. It's kind of crazy to think about. Almost 20 years of musical memory. She's always been there. Yeah, as for this live album, some might be a little intimidated by this being 40 tracks, almost 2 hours of music.
Damn!
Don't let it intimidate you.
Okay.
This concert is smooth as butter. It just goes from one hit to another. It's just packs a punch. With the added aesthetic of the collegiate marching band all throughout. And it really works well with some of the later cuts, like some of the Lemonade cuts, like Don't Hurt Yourself, which is just the most bombastic in-your-face track of them all. It's, man, watching that last year, I didn't watch it live, but I did catch it sort of on the live stream. I had to scroll back a couple hours and watching that whole thing unfold. Whew. Made a believer out of me. And this also serves as kind of a fantastic greatest hits kind of live album with a little bit of everything to it. Old cuts, some Destiny's Child cuts, her hubby Jay-Z being in there, and some recent cuts along with cuts from Lemonade, which is now available outside of Tidal. So I guess that means Tidal is dead and buried underwater.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so now everybody can enjoy Lemonade, not just people with Tidal or, you know, HBO.
And the music as well.
Yeah. Very good live album. Bow down to Queen Bee. Thank you very much. But go away, DJ Khaled. We don't need you to tell us this is Beychella. We already know that.
What does he even do?
He rides on other people's clout.
Clearly.
Yes, clearly. Alright, so there's been a large void in the comedic metal zone ever since Metalocalypse. Fear not, for Beelzebubs is here to save the day in two various forms, because we have J.P. Ahuin's webcomic, Beelzebubs, which you should follow. It's very good and very funny. And now we have an accompanying album to fit that whole true cult melodic black metal vibe that they're going for. But aside from it being, you know, a bit of a comedic piss take on the whole true cult culture, this is a very good album. You know how much I freaking do not stand black metal. This is good. I'll get to that later, but as for the band themselves, I tried to look up the information on who's actually playing the music, you know, IRL for the album. I couldn't find a whole lot. I found some names, but not a lot of information. So we're going to have to go with the in-universe characters that make up this band. So you have Sloth doing rhythm guitar and vocals. His rather pudgy lead guitarist, Obesix, if I'm saying this right. His muscle of a bass player, Hubbath. And his daughter's prog snob boyfriend, Sam, or Samael, on drums, being their newest member after their previous drummer left after finding Jesus. Finding love with a guy named Jesus. You know, takes all cultures to make the world go around.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and while Sloth isn't busy with his family life, you know, two kids, a wife, and a dog with three heads, he's off with his band making some heavy-ass music and shooting some cool videos in a playground or at a ski resort and triggering an avalanche and breaking several bones in the process. You okay there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So, yeah. Comedic, you know, webcomic stuff aside, the music is far from comedy. It's It's very good. You can listen to this even without the context of the webcomic, and you'll still have a very good time. The first three tracks of this set the mood perfectly with the first two singles, Black and Call and Cathedrals of Mourning, with The Faustian Alchemist sandwiched in the middle. I'm assuming that the names are meant to be more satirical because, you know, true cult and all that stuff. Yeah. There are some more laid-back elements on the album, though, like with The Crown Daughters, the first of a three- or four-part, depending on what you listen to, suite of songs. It changes things up a bit from and prevents this from being a total barrage on the ears, which works well because it leads into the next track, the longest track on the album at over 9 minutes, Dark Mother, which is just boom, 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 barrage of melodic death metal and black metal just coming in your face. You know, you got to build it up. Same goes with the title track, Pantheon of the Nightside Gods. Soft intro, a lot of ambient atmospheric synth rings, and then boom, heavy metal barrage. This whole album is full of sinister, dark, brooding riffage that just permeates all throughout. Of course, you have the anthems, which include the aforementioned title track and Black and Call, that very first single. I can't listen to it without a smile on me because all I think about is the funny video. And it does make for a very extraordinary album. It's one that's leaving me with very high hopes for this sort of demonic band coming to us from a webcomic. And now I'm hoping that they'll finally get more of a music video budget so that they don't have any more mishaps going forward, because they kind of need that budget. So, you know, buy the album and make sure they get all that money. And buy the webcomic, too, when it's available in your country. And follow the webcomic online. So, yeah.
Plug, plug, plug away.
Plug.
Yeah, I gotta catch up on this. And I actually found something. I was trying to see if I could find any information on any musicians myself. The only thing I'm seeing is on the Encyclopedia Metallum page. It lists the vocalist as, oh, that's interesting, Nilo Savanen. He's actually the singer of one of my favorite bands, Insomnium.
Oh, how about that? That's kind of
very
cool.
Dark Tranquility type shit, if you're into that.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. As Revolver would call them, it's basically Calvin and Hobbes meets Call of Cthulhu. And speaking of Revolver, I got the new issue. There's a piece in there about Denzel Curry. It's pretty good.
Ooh.
Wild times.
Yeah. Nice interview. And this leads me to... Periphery 4. Hail Stan.
Hail him, we say.
Oh, this album's so good. So very good. And it charted at number one on Billboard's independent charts, so, yay! Success!
Neat.
Yeah. Oh boy, does this album start off with a bang. A nearly 17-minute opener, Reptile, and, it's so heavy! So heavy! And it has some of Spencer's most strained and powerful, piercing scream vocals he's ever done. It's fantastic. I love this track so much. Ugh. I had to stop listening to it for a while because I didn't think the whole rest of the album would match that height. It matched that height. Of course, we talked about Blood Eagle. I don't have to go over that. It's still fantastic. I hear it on Liquid Metal all the time. Church Burner. This is kind of Every Time I Die sounding. It's a very solid banger. I like it. Garden in the Bones, we talked about that one already, so it's only smiles. This song puts a smile on my face every time I hear it. It's such a fantastic motivator, especially when it goes into that sort of double time Matt Halpern double bass groove in the middle of the song. Good. It's good. It makes you want to just... makes you want to either punch something or run. Either way, it's good workout music. Another fine track on here, Crush. This is very good lo-fi electro grimes-esque, and I want to do very sensual things to this song in public. But then that last minute and a half happens, and it's like, what? It's weird. Okay, Sentient Glow. This reminds me a lot of of all things, early era Bullet for My Valentine, and that's not a bad thing. It's got that, you know, heavy mid-late 2000s metalcore vibe, aka the best kind of metalcore vibe before it started sucking. Then there's Satellites. This album, this song starts so very soft and melodic, like the last track on the last album did, Loon. But then it just gets into this super heavy section in the second half. With all the moodiness retained from the first half, it's just... whew. This album is an experience. I'm purposefully not saying a whole lot because, Rob, I know you're going to talk about it. But, yeah, for my take on this, it's very good. Fantastic album. I love this album. I love this band. They continue to do nothing but good stuff for me. So, well done, lads. I hope to buy several copies of this album on various formats. Because, well, I need to. I need to. I need that for my collection. I need to get the other Periphery albums on vinyl, too. Had my chance the other day, but sure enough, don't have any money. Such is life.
Don't worry, you'll be rolling in that bread soon.
Well, I hope so, because I could sure go for some bread.
Remember, bread is getting got. That's probably what Death Grips meant when they said get got. Anyway.
I believe it was, I can't do the thing, but you know what I mean.
Ah, so you have heard that album.
Well, just a track. I'm slowly getting my way through the Death Grips discography.
You gotta get on Fantano's level, boy. I mean, we're not even talking about anything at this point. So, yeah, that covers that first third. So now let's move into the middle third as Mark fights an epic one-hour battle against coughing in order to tell us about good albums.
Yes. Yes, now I have, like, not albums to talk today. Yeah, minus one. I will give a shout-out to Cristobal with his project with the moon, which is a very good an anchor project. I got much to say, and like I'm doing last myself when I say I did not know your Ochu had an album out. I was to it, but I lost track of time. But I'm just get to the nine that I got first. Let's go with a review that got me a lot of attention, good attention, and that is Kitty with Rose Gold.
Because we're moving on up. Not to the east side, but in online noticeability.
Yeah, we're getting clout, kind of. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, okay, yeah. Anyway, we all know who Kitty is. Like, you know, phone knows Kitty Pryde. You know, she always goes from clout route to 80s, 90s pop. Even EDM shit, like, that's when last year with her project she worked on with producer Sam Raitwell. Sam Ray, aka basically her best friend, aka husband, with the Pom Poms, which I viewed an EP last year. And of course, everybody knows, everybody who watches those Swim knows from her singles. Like a lot of them. But yeah, we got her second debut album, her second album with Rose Gold. And I'll say this, I will say this is a very, it's very chill, groovy album. An album that you'll either groove, dance, or just chill whatever mood you're in. Like, that's the only thing I keep saying about her. But yeah, like, of course, the production, you know that Kitty, she actually did a whole bunch of, the majority of it was some help from Sam Ray. And he's the sole feature of this album, along with his other, well, him, his alias, Ricky Acid, and the American Pleasure Club. AKA the band, those two are partying, those two got the name all over it, like, yeah. Of course, the single, Disconnect, it's very, you know, low tempo club bop, which reminds you of a nighttime drive out, reminds you of, you know, very kind of dark, and then you got, like the nighttime drive out and track with Sweat, which if you driving that maybe in Florida at night, probably neon signs everywhere. That sound like a throwback '80s movie that you'll probably make.
Well, usually when you're driving in Florida at night, you're just trying to avoid the crocodiles on meth. But continue.
Yeah, there's even this instrumental here called Kitty's Farm, which it does. It's very like this just give me lullaby before the beat kicks in. Like, you can, like, it kind of give you that. It's like I'm watching Rugrats on. It's like I'm listening to a Rugrats track on acid. Like any musical from the Rugrats, but at like acid to it. It's like, okay, you got that. And speaking, since I mentioned acid, medicine with Mickey Eat Acid. It reminds me of those mid-90s electronic dance music you hear on games like Need for Speed, like in the early Need for Speed games, like whenever you, when you start racing, like you always hear those, it's like that electronic music always racing, like that shit. And on a strange measure, I like the actress with the blaring horns, with some, and I do like the rapper she got in here, which she says, "Big girl, about to turn 26, and since 18, it's been a real-ass whirlwind. It gets well, but I work with it, because I'm a tough fit renaissance bitch, man. Even myself, I do shit well. I know to keep my business to myself. Come over anytime. Do you want to see 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock money? For 24 hours, you tap on an 8. How you got these powers? Don't underestimate." Like, damn, okay. And then you get some cool breezy shit with, The Window with American Pleasure Club, and I got, like, this one of my favorite songs of the album, because, like, this, to me, the whole song just oozes, like, summer vibes. Like, it oozes, like, some of you hear when you see the sunset, which, like I said, she probably knows the feeling more since she actually, she's from Miami, you know. And, yep. and this verse on Look the Mirror, which Ryan says, "To look at me with anime eyes, you ain't no anime. Get shook. I know you're feeling surprised. Here's my family. You rookie shit so immature, and I would know. I don't look good. I'm good. I'm feeling secure. I say no. Don't you look at me with baby doll eyes. You ain't no baby doll. Get shook. You ain't surprised. Boy, I hate it all. I'm sucky. When I suck your blood, I got your heart. And I took it. I'm fucking up. Fall apart." But yeah. Once again, Kenny gets some good shit. Like I think the vocals are good. The production is great. The production is good. Like, I mean, maybe it's me. Like, you should know people look for, like, if it sounds lo-fi, that shit. Like, sometimes if it sounds like I click with it, that means that shit, I like it. I like it. But yeah, this is a very good project from her. And I'm always pleased to hear from her whenever she drops something. Okay, now we got that out of the way. Now the other album that I'm anticipating this April, Anderson .Paak, Ventura,
Another City in California.
Yep. I wonder. So what's next? What be next album? Like, there more cities in California? Like, I would say Compton, but Andre got that already. But
There's like 1,000 cities in California. He won't have trouble trying to find another one to think of.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I didn't think, like 6 months, okay, 6 months ago, you, for me, like, we got Oxnard, right? And you thinking, well, I didn't think we have another album. But the more I think about, like, when the album was originally announced, it was announced as Oxnard Ventura. Because Dr. Dre kind of blacked out the secret, which even in this video, Pepper just said, "Well, but then, like, Oxnard, I can release this at right after that." Like, okay, it's like he kind of knew the reception Oxnard would get. I mean, it's true. I mean, I don't hate it. I mean, I still like it. Should put Bummer on there, but yeah, I still like it. But yeah, we got another album. We got another album from them. And I gotta say, while Super Oxnard, hot damn, Ventura is fucking great. Like, here's the thing. Like, let y'all know about, like, this album is very R&B soul flavor. This is the very smooth, soulful pack. Like, people really want it out of Oxnard. Like, I know, I think there's a reason why people didn't enjoy that one too well, and I kind of get their point, but the whole thing that starts out with "Come Here" with Andre 3000, with the piano, the strings, oh, that is beautiful. And I mean, this is a good starter track, like the Chase on Oxnard, good starter track, and this one, "Come Here," great one, special Andre 3000 still on the show, maybe on the show with his verse, and And of course, you gotta make it better with Smokey Robinson. And that was smooth, soulful shit, and smooth, soulful shit as well. And I didn't know this shit until I looked it up, or I must have forgot, because I didn't mention this when I was coming on this one boost. But the Alchemist was a part of making this as well. Like, he was on the drums. Like, I kind of forgot Alchemist did me. Could do shit besides the, you know, the Great Street shit, but this is good too. And not only this album is, you know, is pretty much school soul music with, you know, more of a mature touch, like it is sort of like, you know, some of you tools play in the, it's definitely love making music again, but it's more mature since the days of Yes Lord, and like there is like some topics like that with, you know, relationship talk, but it's more of a let's work it out or some shit like that, like trying to be mature about it, like, you know, like mature about it, like there's all some other things like talking about his career and state of artists, like in yada yada, King James, other single, we talk about, you know, other than members of the community and thinking justice for, you know, all the fucked up things happening to, like, you know, the minorities and, you know, get shut them by people, other motherfuckers. But yeah, but there's also one a couple of Unchosen One, which Simba Max DeMarco on the level, which, okay, I didn't know that shit. Now this lyrics, which we said in this, can't get enough, look at that, make you walk, piss the grip on, from the kitchen to the living room, label me as the one available, taking a nun, the suit, me like a tailor suit. And nigga up a silver moon, brought a totally different energy up in the room. Heard your parents want to keep in the underground, cool. When I blew up, I said I did it for MF Doom. No cap. I keep 100, 100, 100 in that Beverly. Like, okay. Okay. Mentioned both Sailor Moon and MF Doom. That is some interesting shit right there. And I will say, while the features, I like the features and all, I will say, people like Layla Hathaway and Brandy on Reach Too High and Jet Black respectively, they both more just blend the background rather than standing out. Like I do hear Layla Hathaway, like, maybe one part of the song, but it's like, it was a noble. Brandy, I kind of did hear her in Jet Black, because I'm wondering, oh, that's Brandy. I ain't heard you in years. And it was at least Jem Sullivan on Good Heels. She got a good notice. And of course, the final track, which features the OG hip hop soul crooner himself, Nate Dogg. And yes, I know it's weird hearing a track from him, concerning about his, you know, his performance passing in 2011, which that is almost 8 years ago. And the way it ended, like Pat talking to Nate, like he's leaving the studio, like, gotta go. Which I heard people say it's sort of like Kendrick Lamar talking to Tupac on Mortal Man from Pimp a Butterfly, which I sort of get that. I do sort of get that, but like, this, it leaves you in your feelings. Like, it leaves you, over there, Nate Dogg one more time, and it's like, I never hear him again. Yeah, I know some fans might be, they'll be pleased and they'll be also sad, but I'll say this. While Oxnard mate was those that left Oxnard disappointed, I will say Ventura gives you what you wanted more from that. You want that organic production, you got that aspiration, you got that the smooth groovy vibes, you got that, and features that blend in from, you know, I don't mind experimenting from time to time, but here's the thing, when he does something good, it is good. Like, this is really great. Like, I think this could definitely end up on my top. I don't want to say anything yet, but it could be a top something, top 10, top something. It'd be on my list, is what I'm saying. And now for albums that I haven't made a review of because I was lazy, because I don't know what to say. Let's start off with, One that I should talk about in ages, the Chemical Brothers with No Geography. Now here's the thing, like, I'm somebody who does like the Chemical Brothers, but even though I kind of listen, like, I ain't been, you know, well, what's the word? I ain't been current with them that much lately. Like, I know her like one few checks them, like maybe some of her singles with them, and the one time they scored that one movie Hannah, which I liked. Which I don't know, they got a damn, what's it got an Amazon show, which oh yeah, they do got an Amazon show, but anyway, their new album, No Geography, 10 tracks, which I'll maybe it's me not keeping up with them in a while, but I think they're working with this very, you know, groovy dancey type of shit. Like, I know one of the singles, Gotta Keep It On, got this very disco groovy vibe to it. Like, it is something you're like, it is the shit you would dance to. Like, this is good shit. And I will say, another song I heard from them, Mad as Hell. I got the image of Mr. T in Hanna-Barbera form dancing to this, saying, "I'm mad as hell. I ain't gonna take it no more. I'm mad as hell. I ain't gonna take it no more." Like, I imagine that shit in my head. Like, yeah, I could definitely see something like Mr. T doing this shit, or even Terry. You know what? I see Terry Crews dancing to this. Like, I see him dancing to this. Like, he dancing in White Chicks. Like in a rave, doing that shit. And then there's one song, The Universe Sent Me. Like, the vocalist in there is called Aurora, and I listened so many play times, and like it keeps repeating, "I cave in, I cave in, I cave in," and for the life of me, I thought she say, "I came in." Like, what are you coming out of? Like, okay, like the song gets kind of weird from there. Like, maybe just be misreading lyrics or me not knowing what the fuck is going on. But was it for the album? Like, I do get these good electronic vibes from there. Like, I do like some songs, like even Destruction and Bango. Like, those some good, like some good deep cuts. Deep cuts. What the fuck am I saying? And thing. And I will say, Free Yourself reminds me of, like, to me, Free Yourself just kind of crashed together because it sounded like, because sometimes somebody do an electronic beat, and then do random noises, like, you know what I'm saying? Free Yourself, like, da 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 da. Okay, maybe not like that, but more like, sort of like, imagine lasers shooting at each other, or, like, lasers, or sound, like, or some shit like that. Like, while I listen to Chemical Brothers album, man, quite a while, like, damn, it's been a long while. Like, the last time it came out, what, like 2015, 14? I don't know, but yeah, I was feeling this album. I could even say I would go back to some cuts. but yeah, pretty good. And that's one I have been anticipating on for some time since it was announced. Schoolboy Q with Crash Talk. And now going into this album, I will say, and then look at the track list, I will say, I should take some different from him. Like, he is somebody that wants to do like different shit. Like, I know people look at the track list like, oh, this is gonna be trash or some shit like that. But I'm gonna be honest, when I listened to the album like a few times, I have seen from, I got one of the J-Rock's last album, Redemption, is that. It does have that mainstream appeal, with, you know, tracks to get singles like I mean Chopsticks or Travis Scott. I mean, that's pretty much Exhibit A, which, okay, that's actually because you get a single, and I think that's charted or something, that's charted on the Billboard charts somewhere. That's recent, but anyway, I will say you do get a lot of bangers and trunk thunkers. I mean, trunk thumpers. Like, this, like, you play the shit in your trunk of the stereo system and it'll bang. Like, I will say that there's some bangers in there, but there is stuff that he will get into some real shit. Like, okay, like, you know, like how this album got delayed into house too. You know, the death of Mac Miller, and he does touch upon that, at least around other deaths. Like, There's a song "Drunk," which features Six Black. Yeah, he's on there too, and I do like the song. Like, it does got this, you know, buzzy piano. Like, it's like the piano's drunk, but it's like it's a good soundtrack. Like, I kind of dig that shit. And of course, it goes, I ain't really drunk. Just a little buzz. Okay, I do like the chorus. I guess it doesn't get to be like, it is. Well, it ain't. Well, the song isn't like, he's not truly drunk. It's like he's feeling with, you know, a lot of emotions and intoxication. Like, you know, surrounding stuff around, you know, his family, all that shit. Like one Mickey mentioned, why my grandma couldn't live, gone way too fast. Which I will say this: the writing is, well, kind of man. It's on the man side. I mean, I'm not gonna. I mean, he's not horrible, but it's like, eh. I think he's trying. I guess I don't know. Maybe what he's going for. As far as I know, like. I will say 5200 gives me vibes of X, that song from the Black Panther soundtrack, only just him, and can I say the song features vocals from Kendrick Lamar for some more, which I'm actually reading right now, like, okay, I did forget, Drunk did actually sample off of XXX from Kendrick Lamar off Damn, so there's that shit. Some joints bang, gang bangs, Tails bang, Num Juice bangs, Crash definitely bangs. Water did bang because I do like the main thing, the main production on that. And I may sound crazy saying this, but wow, Little Baby did not suck on this. You want to say, like, what the fuck, really? Like, mean to me, like, he's not bad on here. His flow is good. I mean, the song is basically about, you know, talk about their jewelry, which okay, and maybe because how Schoolboy did his verse where he says, "Ended too fast, and then can never be late. Got my pants that even gonna sound like the bass. The fuck with the badge, you're gonna see what it is, his face. Just keep it real, it's really, really me, it's fake." Like, that, it's that slow bit sing touch that I kind of felt with that. And I will say, the track that didn't do me, that didn't really...
Wah, wah, wah.
Well, this track that didn't do me is Lies, that Lies sound like another, you know, track with, look, there's Ty Dolla Sign and YG. They're doing that thing. It's like, it's kind of meh. I didn't really care for that much. Dangerous Kid Cudi is alright. Kid Cudi is alright. Like, you do get that Kid Cudi-ism. Well, but not the humming, alright, but just like, you get that Kid Cudi sound. Another one is Black Folk, which he talks about how, like, people on Waste of Talent and Money, how Q talks about, you know, the fiends of drugs and life of and the fame life, which you know, of course, the devil, and of course, Mac Miller, which does keep on the fact that even though you got talent, skill, you know, that, like, me money, me voice, do the house of Black Folk, like, all that type of shit. But yeah, I will say, I'm not mad at this album. Like, this got more of a trap sound, more trap sound than usual. Like, it does have, I mean, tracks that I didn't care about. Like, I still don't care for Chopsticks. Or lies, or even that one track Floating, I definitely found some good things to say about this album. I mean, who knows, more TDE joints will come this year. I know people say Kendrick, but I'm thinking I'm not saying we have a Kenjama come out maybe this year, but I'm thinking who's overdue for one as of now. I think it might be Absol, because we ain't heard from, shit from him in a while. I mean, that's just me. I mean, we ain't heard from him since, what, the 2016? 2016, you get the album for what? Off the top, I don't know. Anyway, fuck it. That was good. And now I'm gonna talk about some quickies. One of them is Lizzo, Cause I Love You. And I'll say this, it's alright. Like, it's alright. Like, it's like I can definitely listen to this. Like, I can. Like, she's supposed to be a good, like, you know, rapper slash singer, which I will say, even though I don't know much about her previous work, I will say it's gotten a lot, for one of her, it's gotten a lot poppier than, poppier since it's on a, major label debut since she signed to Atlantic, which means, of course, you're gonna get that, the big money. And I will say, she just had this, you know, this very clean, but doesn't sound like she got producers like Ricky Reed, okay, Oak, Lizzo herself, ex-ambassadors, okay, that's something, and you hear those names later, but yeah, I will say, I didn't know those two producers, like, yeah, I will say. But doesn't it, like I say, it's very clean. I mean, very clean, very, you know, prestige. I won't say prestige, more like, you know, got that. It's a very, you know, major label debut sound, which is that's what I'm trying to say. Like she has some good songs that, like, Juice is pretty good. Tempo's still banging. Jerome's pretty good. I'm pretty good, I will say, Lingerie's pretty good too. I will say, if she did the right thing by keeping the features very lean, which got mainly Missy and Gucci Mane on it, like they're on track 7 to 8 both together. And it's like all is just her, just all Lizzo, and yeah, it's a good album. And yes, Lizzo, I like your album. Please don't be, yes, Lizzo, I like your album. Okay, please don't. I will listen to it. Just look. I know you got mad for some shit, but please, I'm on your side. Well, I think you're good. That's all I got to say.
Too late. You're officially unemployed now.
Oh no! Not gonna get this time. Say what we'll work for. Shout no. We'll work for anything.
Including mozzarella sticks, corn, and pizza rolls.
Pretty much. Okay. Next up, I listened to Khalid's Free Spirit. And I'm gonna say this. I did kind of struggle listening to the full album, to be honest. It's not a bad album, it's just like, some of it does, the songs do feel kind of, well, does kind of feel the same. Sound back and forth. Like to me, it's good background music. Like, I did like some tracks like Right Back and 100, but then these are all 17 tracks, lasting like almost an hour. And Some songs kind of flew in and out of my ear. Like, he's not a bad singer. Like, he's a good singer. He's a good singer. I'm just saying, like, I felt the length. Like, I know, I mean, but then again, I'm saying that as somebody who I sat through all of Avengers Endgame last month. All three, go to the bathroom, even though went beforehand, but I'm not saying this album's bad, because it's not bad. I will say, I probably, like, listen to one half, the one half then, and the other half later. It's like a now later. Like, here's now, but put that shit back for later. I still listen to tracks like Right Back at 100, but they are pretty good. Is what I'm saying. Like, he's still doing good. And now for albums that you didn't mention, or at least I have an album and an EP from the same people, from a name that I haven't talked and they haven't talked about in a long while. It is SOBXRBE.
Again?
Yeah, again. They actually have two projects, which evidently, like, they're not that long. Like, one's an EP, one's a sort of album, well, a short album. Together it's like 12 tracks, and together it's like 13 minutes. So that's like that's like a full album. So, fuck it. That's what we call that, like a full album. Like, they did, well, okay, the thing is, the collaboration is like, first one they got is from, you know, with Hit-Boy with Family Not a Group. And I'm gonna say, there's not much to say about it right here. Like, if you know the group, you know, they always got that, flow, that kind of, sort of offbeat, but sort of like, you kind of get with it, like it always go like, like that type of flow, like they always get with them. And the one with Hit-Boy, like, it's pretty much the usual shit. I'm like, it's good banger shit, but just nothing that just nothing that stuck by me. And they did an EP which called Roll the Dice, and the EP they did with somebody which I never thought none of this dude would do something with them, and it is Marshmello. Okay, I will say, hey, at least you pick somebody that's not an asshole. By the way, fuck you, Chris Brown. You know you want to say that too, you got like a three song EP with which you think it'd be some EDM shit, but not really. It's really just, you know, the same basic shit that they always do, like just Marshmello making this. It's like, okay, I mean, It ain't nothing different, just like as it always did. But it's like, yeah, I mean, good thing it's just an EP, like what, nine minutes. Like, I mean, you can try this with, like, okay. Whatever. And now I have one more album left. Maybe because this is from something that of a this let's say this is from a series that Everybody is hyped on, whether it be for good or bad reasons. Yes. I listen to For the Throne.
Mark, help. I'm trying to find you. I'm trying to find the computer screen, but everything is too dark.
Wait. I'm right here. I'm by the Starbucks cup. Right there. Like, I'm waving a cup at you. Like, right there. It's the cup.
Oh, there it is. Howard Schultz will take control of Westeros.
Just after next week, HBO is just.
Yeah, well, that's somehow Watchmen is their Game of Thrones. Which,
what even was that?
I don't fucking know. And I forget, the main doomsayer is Damon Lindelof, the same dude that did it, Lost some shit. Okay, I'm getting off track. Anyway, about this album, I'll describe it as, well, this feels like a Coachella sampler, or basically what I call music my wife friends listen to, plus some black shit on there. I mean, that's what I get from this. I mean, even look at this. You know, divorce from Game of Thrones is like, this sounds like a soundtrack to some big epic movie that would say, here, we got the biggest acts of pop, R&B, hip hop, and all that shit, and some indie motherfuckers too, because it does feel like that, to be honest. Like, it does feel like listen to my white friend's playlist. It's like, Oh, okay. Oh, we got Who's Mary Morris. Like, okay, that one's whatever. Okay. Then you got the one that you say, oh, you like this one. You like this one. You like SZA, right? Yes, I like SZA. That song's okay. Oh, okay. All right. Then you got the Lumineers. Who? No, really, who? I don't know them. Ain't even really good. Okay.
I don't know.
And you can look at Ellie Goulding with some awesome trap shit, which oddly enough, I actually like that one, to be honest. Which, okay, this sounds like something. Something I would hear ASAP Ferg on. And since I mentioned ASAP, and yes, you took my surprise, the one track I like from there is the ASAP Rocky Joy Badass One with Too Many Gods, which, no surprise, because that shit does work like it does. Got that. I don't know why this sounds like a dark cowboy theme to me. Even though in the medieval ages and shit, I just kind of dig that for a second. Maybe because, and plus, you know, ASAP Rocky, he does this thing with badass. I love his verse. And yes, I skipped the one X-Bath because song. That's not put me to sleep. And no, I don't care about the National. I don't care about James Arthur, whoever the fuck he is, or that damn Matthew Bellamy Muse song, which I sort of turned it off after the last track.
Yeah.
This is basically a cash-in. This is like, you know, I know they made the mixtape a few years back. I probably figured maybe those be, even though I ain't heard them yet, I figured those be more interesting than this, cause at least for those sounds like something that will appeal to most people. But this sounds like something that would try. This sounds like something that would try to be the Billboard top, you know, singles. Like try to do want to be songs that, you know, that chart up high, the top, chart up high in the Billboard 100 or Rolling Stone 100. Isn't gonna do that shit. So I'm just gonna say this. I just grabbed the songs I like, which was again Too Many Gods, Hollow Crown, and maybe that one. Rosalie, that track, which is like, yeah, I keep those. Others are like, I could take a leave without them. I know it's inspired by Game of Thrones. I know it's a inspired by album, but this just feels like a soundtrack to a movie that you're gonna forget in a few days, even though hearing about how Game of Thrones core right now, people are really getting either furious or mad or whatever. Like, I know people who watch the show, they're like, damn it, like that shit. But yeah, the soundtrack is kind of a wash. And now I'm gonna take my water because I need it.
Yeah, that network, man. Good luck. So yeah, now it's time to get to the third of this three-part podcast. Well, I mean, technically all one part, but you know what I mean. Time for me to talk about some albums and whatnot. And as always, time to start with the top picks. We will, of course, begin with the album that kept myself sane enough to get through finals week without wanting to explode through a table. And that is the new Chris DeVoe album with The Moon, the longtime progenitor of the sound of Toonami. Quite literally, if you go on, like, his website and you look under the real, like, his real section, literally, like, 95% of the embeds are Toonami promos. He's clearly very proud of the work he does there, as he should, because this is some very fine shit. Definitely in that realm of what you would expect from the Toonami style of beats, especially when it starts off with, you know, appropriately preliminary. A lot of whirring, scratchy ambience coated with chopped up vocal samples. synth arpeggios, very clappy snare percussion with a lot of auxiliary elements in there. That low, rumbling, kind of numbing synthetic bass. And those general elements run through a lot of the album, especially like with the following track, See Hue, as the rumbling bass works well in contrasting the more floating, echoey synths. And also with some great contributions vocally from Mr. Elato Negro. Hell, it almost kind of sounds like a really good Gorillaz track when I think about it. Jonesin has a really nice metallic sheen along with a lot of unnerving elements to it, like alarm beeps, finger snaps, some chimes and whatnot. Of course, there's Fernandina to Reynis Fijara. Wow, what the hell am I pronouncing? Sounds like some kind of anime I'm not reading. Wait, reading? Watching. Who the hell reads anime? Jeez. Which, you know, has a lot of really unnerving tones with its kind of ominous clicks, a lot of the breathy hi-hats, finger snaps, and that super creepy piano bit in there, which, to be fair, it does get contrasted by a more beautiful sounding piano part later. A lot of these elements run, you know, pretty consistently throughout a lot of the record. I really like the song Disappear, which kind of has like this, probably the creepiest sound on the record. There's kind of like this running, like, emergency alert, self-destruct kind of industrialist vibe running through the whole thing, especially with a lot of the ear-piercing, unnerving synth runs in there. Of course, there's plenty of other collaborative tracks besides the Elato Negro one, with probably my favorite being Mystic Depths of the Mundane Clapback, with its memorably, like, atonal piano rhythm, the weird saxophone in there, and, you know, some pretty fire bars from what I assume is Zeno. That there's like three different collab names listed on here. I'm assuming Zeno is the rapper. Or possibly Leblaze. I needed to verify this beforehand. Of course, if you want some Death Grips vibes, you can actually listen to the track VHA, which does kind of sound a lot like a Death Grips track, what with the you know, off-kilter, almost tribal drum patterns and the weird background vocal samples. Oh, and of course the song We Say, which features Zeno and DT, is a motherfucking rap jam. So, yeah, this is some fine electronic, experimental, hybridizing with hip-hop sort of stuff. And you should not be sleeping on it. This is some end-of-the-year good shit. And now to move on to the next album here. This one I decided to check out on a whim on the recommendations of one Mr. Crash Thompson. And that would be this new Pup record, appropriately titled Morbid Stuff. And I don't just say that because it literally says that in, like, literally the opening line of the song, which, gotta say, this album, you know, I did check out some of their stuff before, and I was liking it instrumentally, but I was fascinated lyrically, because it's certainly a very unique sort of style. Literally, the opening lyrics of the opening track are like, I was bored as fuck, sitting around thinking about all this morbid stuff, like if anyone I ever slept with is dead. And I'm like, yeesh, you having a bad day, pal? And there's kind of a deliberate irony to it, because it kind of has, like, this pseudo-triumphant, like, garage pop-punk sort of thing going on. But then when you listen to, you know, these dark lyrics, like when he's talking about how everything makes me feel like I'm about to throw up. I mean, there is an off-kilterness to some of the music that kind of backs up the tone somewhat. The guitar work kind of has a lot of these, like, jangly chords, this kind of twinkly, shoegazy kind of stuff, and a lot of really off-kilter, jagged rhythms and whatnot. When you listen to songs like Kids, the drums, you know, stomp a lot on the toms, and there's this really wavery vocal delivery with this contrasting against, like, the guitar melody, some touches of, like, amplifier feedback. Of course, more bitter irony and sarcasm in the lyrics, like, your little games are getting old, and your songs are getting way too literal. How about some goddamn subtlety for a change? Which, again, bad day, man. You need some weed or some beer. I don't know, maybe a video game or something. More of that atonalness creeps through in songs like Fire at Last, especially in the chorus and how the chord progression seemed kind of aimless and melancholic in how they progress. Of course, the solo as well is just kind of like, you know, going along, grinding against your senses, followed by some really pummeling fast, rapid tom fills in a way that feels almost kind of hardcore punkish in a sense. There's a really dark track on here called Scorpion Hill, which pretty much sounds like it's about a man trying to, you know, support a significant other during a really tough time. But obviously he's having a lot of, like, pretty dark thoughts about everything that's going on. Shit is going really hard and shit. One of my favorite tracks here is Bloody Mary Kate and Ashley, which has a lot of these really squealing chord structures and weird melodic progressions. And in this kind of 6-8 groove, and even the opening track, for like 2 seconds, it squeals against your senses in a way that kind of feels like a daughter's jam. For just 2 seconds. Just 2 seconds, I assure you. And of course, one cannot forget standout lyrics like, "Walk through the door with some gasoline in a can. Put some on the floor in the shape of a pentagram. And I lit a match as I stood in a circle. Flames shooting up in the sky." Hell, the song Sibling Rivalry opens up with, like, these very oozing wound-esque kind of tremolos that continue a lot throughout the song, as it's still, you know, if you want an idea of how abrasive this can get. Ditto with Full-Blown Meltdown, which just jams hard as fuck, with a lot of noisy, hardcore punk territory, pounding drum rhythms, driving guitars, and, of course, probably some of the most sarcastic lyrics in the song, including the golden set of lines here. "You shouldn't take it so seriously, it's just music after all, and half the crap I say is just things I've stolen from the bathroom walls of shitty venues across America." Hell, the song even ends with a closing kind of heavy triplet, like, chug groove that I kid you not, would honestly be right at home in, like, a Mastodon banger. So, yeah, color me surprised. This, I just checked out on a whim, and I'm very impressed with what I'm hearing. Certainly one of the more unique, you know, stylistically and lyrically kind of albums I've heard of this ilk in a goddamn long-ass time. Anyway, moving on to album number 3 here, Sulfur English, the latest from doom metalers Inter Arma, a band that I've kind of warmed up to over the past several years, because I gotta admit, the first time I ever listened to them, I only thought they were average, but then I saw them live and I was a lot more impressed, and that kind of helped, you know, the rest of their music go down a bit better, and I was, you know, getting more and more interested. So when you're listening to the opening track, A Waxen Sea, it kind of opens with like these slow, spaced out droning guitar rhythms, so it sounds like it's in firmly familiar territory, but then you listen to the drums and while they're going at the relative same tempo, they're just blast beating away. Of course, the vocals echo and reverb with this deliberate doomy grit over top the actual instrumentation. The guitars kind of switch to a lower register kind of melody as the drums go back and forth between, like, you know, halftime and, of course, the blast again. And that deliberate contrast is something that actually kind of runs a lot through, like, the style of the album. You'll be hearing the guitars, you know, slowly building, droning on, and the drummer's just fucking pounding away. Like, that motherfucker is just expending all the energy he got. Especially with the single we talked about, Citadel, very similar vibe. It does go into slower building rhythms as the song goes on, with a lot of these howling background, like, doomy vocals in there. Of course, the ride cymbal of doom as things go on. And of course, speaking of howling, there's the track Howling Lands, which is an exceptional example of a song that's a consistent, exceptional slow burner, as it slowly builds with its rhythmic pounding tom grooves, with the occasional ride cymbal strike, these slow droning guitar chords, and the vocals, you know, with layers of just, you know, harsh, gurgling, squealing, high-pitched, switching to more ominous sort of tribal spoken word, like a sacrifice is about to take place. In quite the contrast, though, the track's stillness is driven by a lot of acoustic guitars throughout, and these more mid-register drifting vocals that are sung in a less abrasive manner, with a somewhat slower and slightly less aggressive playing style on the drums, with these kind of airy, distorted guitars coated in flanger at parts floating above the instrumentation before getting into the last couple minutes or so, which honestly kind of feels like more of a somewhat doomier version of, like, Sleep. And speaking of Sleep, The song Atavist Meridian spends a lot of time vamping on, like, a samey kind of doomy guitar progression that sometimes kind of shifts up and down between two registers, but still plays, like, a similar pattern, backed by these very off-kilter drums that are heavy on, like, the ghost note accentuations as the vocals distort into this crackling, echoey nightmare. Again, there's parts where the song sort of backs off into these sparser rhythms, but of course it's still pretty furiously doomed throughout. Of course, the title track closes things out and amps up the sludgy, doomy drone with a lot of really dense drum rhythms and fast-pounding beats, very tightly, you know, maintained fills and everything. Just a lot you gotta pay attention to, and I think that kind of sums up the record as a whole. Sulfur English is a very dense project. There's probably going to be some details and stuff that you might miss on a first listen, but if you're willing to go back to it more and more, you'll find a very haunting, doomy, but ultimately very rewarding musical experience, all things considered. And now to talk about my last top pick here. Once again, hail Stan. Hail him!
Yes!
So, yeah, Periphery number 4. Okay, can we talk about how much of a fucking banger Blood Eagle is? Can we emphasize that more and more? Because legit, this may very well be in my top 5 of, like, favorite Periphery jams. Just those fucking massive swinging, chugging grooves, ever so punctuated by that loud electronic burst, the dense drum fills, the pounding rhythmic switch-ups with those, you know, sort of triplet syncopations in there. There's that sweet groove with, like, you know, the palm muted guitars, the bass, you know, the off-center snares, giving breathing room to a lot of the chugs before it, like, gents even harder, giving the harshest Spencer shriek I may have ever heard. And then, of course, there's that really huge, sinister-sounding groove where he's singing, "No man or woman escape the fire!" God, that shit is fucking awesome.
Yeah. That must be why it's getting heavy rotation on Liquid Metal. It's good!
And speaking of aggressive, vicious bangers, of course going right into Church Burner after that with its non-stop driving rhythms, that grinding, squealing guitar progressions. Yes, very twangy in an Every Time I Die-ish sort of fashion. In terms of pure heavy, this may very well be some of the hardest shit they've written, especially with the low-end bassiness of the guitars in the chorus. Letting things, you know, sort of breathe for a bit, there's of course the pretty melody of Garden of Bones, switching things up with some more relaxed but still off-kilter grooves and guitar melodies that kind of feel more at home on Periphery 3, or maybe even something in like a sort of Juggernaut Alpha kind of vein. Of course, it does have like some genty passages and parts of electronica, especially the bridge that kind of lays off some of the guitars and lets Matt's very tight V-neck driven cymbal work shine through. Now that I think about it, bringing up Periphery 3, I think It's Only Smiles might be the most Periphery 3-esque track on here. Certainly the most chipper, optimistic Periphery track I've heard in a while. It's all sunshiny, major key guitar melodies, all dense and interplaying off of each other, lush walls of synths, and of course Spencer's cleans. Hell, the song, while it does have some rhythmic, you know, oddities here and there, it's a pretty consistent 4-4, all things considered, without a lot of those typical genty obfuscations. Conversely, there's Follow Your Ghost, which has the same kind of slow burn grooves as something like The Bad Thing off of a Juggernaut Omega. The guitar is lurching along with this heavy, heavy syncopation. The verses, you know, matching up with a lot of, like, the cymbal smashes and the drums and everything. Some particularly deep Spencer growls, complemented by ominous choir background vocals. And then this kind of, like, you know, just chugging riff afterwards that kind of has some tremolo in there as well, with the writing the rest of the drum patterns and everything. It builds just more and more into these just really ominous sections in there. At first, I kind of had troubles getting into Crush because it kind of felt like a real pace break, like being one of the most purely synthetic songs they've written, probably the most synthetic song they've written ever, considering like the rest of the album. But I did eventually get, you know, used to it, you know, after a while. Of course, Sentient Glow is probably the most fast-paced song on the album, bordering almost on kind of thrash, like, throughout, especially with, like, a lot of the guitar, you know, chord progressions, the interplay, the noodling, all of that good stuff. It's all well and accounted for. If I do have to nitpick a bit here, though, I kind of feel like the structure of the album is a bit off, and that's kind of due to a few, you know, I would really just rearrange a couple songs here. I feel like Reptile, for as grand of a musical prog metal odyssey as it is, really should have been the ending track of the record, and it should have opened with Blood Eagle. That just feels like a better, like, build of momentum overall. And then you probably could have had, like, Satellites maybe somewhere closer in the middle. Although, yeah, because Satellites, honestly, like, it's a solid enough song at all, but compared to, like, the majesty of, you know, Reptile, it's a bit weird of a choice for a closer. And, you know, overall, though, as someone who kind of felt like Periphery 3 was just good but not great, this is definitely a step up in the right direction. Stan will, in fact, be continuously hailed for at least the next couple of months. Anyway, with those highlights out of the way, time to get through some quick picks here. Stuff that I don't have as much to say, but I still felt like bringing up here. First up, the new Sunno Project Life Metal. So, you know, it's four songs, it's like an hour and 6 minutes. You can probably figure out what you're getting into from there if you heard like one Sunno album. I will say, while 2015's Canon felt like it emphasized a lot of crunchy guitars droning on with like ominous low register vocal passages peppered throughout, Life Metal, it has a lot more low end, like a lot more bassiness in the guitars as they drone on. They're still there, but there's definitely a lot more of that low end, and the vocal parts, when they do happen, are more hushed, melodic, and soft-spoken. There's also a heavy amount of electric cello, church organs in there, plenty of feedback to fill in the empty space and everything. It's a Sunno project. You throw it on, you zone out to it. It's a pretty solid experience in that regard. Moving on from that, we have King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Fishing for Fishies. The first we're hearing of them this year, and maybe not the last. This is a very quaint kind of record. Very relaxed with a lot of its instrumentation. The vocals are coded in a lot of, you know, synth and vocoder to sound very serene and nice. Emphasis on a lot of acoustic string instrumentations for a very, like, relaxing, like you're in your rocking chair in the backyard kind of vibe. There's a lot of swinging triplet grooves in the drums and the general rhythms because, you know, there's a lot of boogie on this album, especially with the synth-laden nature of tracks like Boogeyman Sam and Cy Boogie. It's a relaxing time as well, but if you're like me and you crave more the frenetic, weird spectacle of Murder of the Universe, this may not do it for you. There's not exactly a robot that vomits up until the entire universe is filled with vomit, if you know what I mean. The Damned Things, High Crimes. If the first Damned Things record felt like a moonshine-fueled rager on a Friday night, this feels like a hoedown fueled by whiskey that's not as rowdy. There's still some rowdiness there. Wait, is it hoedown or hootenanny? I don't know. There's some hard-hitting highlights like Cells, Carry a Brick, and definitely The Fire is Cold, but a lot of it feels like it's training more on, like, you know, sort of more relaxed southern-ish tendencies rather than just the pure-on southern fried hard rock of Ironiclast. I think that's how it's pronounced. Even with that in mind, there's still some rangers on here, and it's easily the best thing that any member of Fall Out Boy has been involved with this decade. So that's a point in their favor.
Yeah.
I'm grouping these next two albums together as one because, as backhanded as I know this is going to sound, they kind of bled together in my mind. After The Burial's Evergreen and Allegeon's Apoptosis, in that they're pretty much the perfect example of solid enough but nothing special kind of modern proggy tech death metal. I will say I give the edge more to Apoptosis because its production felt a little bit more full, whereas Evergreen still kind of had like that razory buzzy problem in the guitars where it sounded just a little too processed and synthetic. But honestly, if you just kind of played songs from this album, from these albums rather, back and forth, and try to ask me to guess which is which. I probably couldn't tell you apart from like production. So, I don't know. I'm sure there's an audience for this, but you know, it ain't for me. At least these albums, anyway. Of course, got to bring up Kitty, Rose Gold, pretty much everything Mark said. That's all I have to add on the matter.
Nice.
And last but not least, Anderson .Paak with Ventura. You know, I'm going to echo a sentiment that I've actually heard a lot of people say, because it's kind of where my general mindset is at with this album, in that I kind of feel like if you took Oxnard and Ventura, stripped out the fillery tracks between them, and then smashed the remaining songs together into one LP, you would have something that could easily give Malibu a run for its money. That being said, as it stands, this is, while the last one felt more on the hip-hop side of things, Ventura is definitely more, like, closer to a pure R&B record, with some touches of that Paak sarcasm in there. And this is absolutely a baby-making record. So, any of you kids listening to this, maybe, like, 10 years in the future, ask your parents about this album, and I'm sure they'll tell you the whole story. And that's it. I actually don't even have any lowlights. I didn't hear anything this month that I actively disliked. It was, wow, I feel like I got that 3 months in a row. Oh, no, wait, last month I talked about Weezer, but technically 2 months out of four so far, not bad. We're about 50-50, so, yeah, that's basically all I have to say. That's all we have to say on the matter. Of course, if you want to follow along with the albums that we do recommend or the tracks that we think were interesting, there'll be a Spotify playlist down in the description of this podcast. So just, you know, click on that and, you know, save it for your car rides to and from work or to the theater to watch Avengers Endgame for the fourth time. Or Detective Pikachu, you could be going to the theater to watch that too.
Yeah.
I heard it's just an hour and 40 minutes of Pikachu dancing in a workout video.
Yeah.
But, thank you for listening to this month's album roundup. All the links and relevant shit will be there down in the description. We will, of course, see you with the usual weekly episodes and for next month's roundup. And until next time, seriously, Wawa Chicken Parm hoagies are fucking legit.